Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Plugged Into. I'm your host, Kimmy Dixon, and I'm also the founder of Hypertribe, of which this is a production of. So this week on Plugged Into, we're going to be talking to Chris Garrett, all about innovation in the music industry. Chris has got a wealth of experience within music tech and developing custom solutions for different labels, as well as different entities across the board. We're going to be discussing things like, what does the future of music really look like? What technologies are going to be on the horizon? And I think it's going to be an interesting conversation as well as a fun one. So let's jump into it. So welcome to the show, Chris. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yes, I'm a creative technologist. I specialize in working with organizations, more often than not music organizations, to embrace emerging technology and develop tools and platforms that help them both commercially and in a consumer-facing context. In terms of background, I started coding as a teenager, and I was fortunate enough at the time to get picked for something called the BBC Innovation Labs, which is where I met a guy called Martin Davis, who kind of really pulled me into the music tech space. I worked with him at Universal Music and various other projects kind of going on from there for big labels like Domino and Warner.
Fantastic. And I know that you've obviously seen a lot of changes over the last couple of years, especially around tech and innovation within the music. So what made you really move into this space? Was it that particular person, or was it also like this drive and this passion as well?
Yeah, it was very much. I mean, it was a combination of working with Martin and then being introduced into Universal Music. I actually met with Justin when we were working on various projects at Universal, and he was on a previous episode, and kind of, there's a weird thing, which is once you work with Universal, basically everybody else in the record industry suddenly seems to take notice. So from there, I got approached by a number of other record labels. Kind of various projects came up as a result of that. So it kind of just snowballed from there.
That's awesome. And I'm so glad you know Justin. I think he's awesome at what he does. And yeah, good person to know, that's for sure. And why music and tech specifically, though? I mean, I know that you've done a few things around sports, but was there a particular reason why currently that you're in music and tech?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, as tumultuous as it is, I find the record industry and the music industry one of the most interesting industries that you can kind of target from a tech point of view. As a techie, like, the stuff that interests me is things like big data, really interesting algorithms around discovery, that side of things, and use cases for machine learning, like actual applied use cases. And the music industry kind of ticks all those boxes. You can take any small record label, and now in the age of Spotify, they'll be working with millions of data points just from a very small repertoire, which is a really interesting challenge to kind of get my teeth stuck into. And it also presents us with a lot of opportunities for kind of innovation and pitching projects that can actually really change the way an organization works. So it's really that. It's just a really interesting space to be in.
Yeah, for sure. I think data, it's an interesting space because you're also taking a look at social behavior as well alongside the data. And I think tech has really accelerated that. But you were talking a little bit about streaming and that you understood that there was a massive shift that had happened within the music industry. And that's where, you know, tech and innovation can really excel.
Yeah, so I mean, streaming is really, really interesting in that it seemed to sort of catch the music industry out. And actually, it kind of almost goes back to iTunes, I guess, where iTunes came along and completely turned the whole industry on its head. You've got organizations that are essentially used to shifting vinyl and CDs having to suddenly adapt to a completely different means of distribution. And actually, we've still got organizations in the industry that from a pure technology perspective, technology industry perspective, don't need to exist. Like, the idea of digital distributors is really funny. You know, what are they? Are they brokers for FTP connections and just moving files around? So I find all that side of things really kind of interesting. And from a future gazing point of view, I think there's going to be a massive culling, essentially, of gatekeepers that exist all the way through the industry and up until recently have been considered necessary for an artist to find their route to market. I think they'll potentially disappear and be replaced by automation and platforms.
I just want to quickly ask, what do you think in the next 10 years would then be the landscape of the music industry? What do you think that crossover as well between music and tech will look like?
I think there's a number of ways I could answer this because it could go multiple ways. I think the thing that I most anticipate happening is actually that there won't be record labels in 10 years' time and there won't be distributors. I hope there'll be a wider range of DSPs as well. More people kind of coming to the table in providing not necessarily competitive, but kind of peripheral experiences around Spotify, giving artists more ways of reaching market. And I hope that those platforms will allow artists to engage with them directly as well. I think there's so much tech now that we just don't need the gatekeepers there. We don't need digital distributors. We don't necessarily need record labels because the cost of production is continuously coming down with more and more tooling. You don't need to pay for mastering anymore. You can go and use Lanyard, for instance. So in that respect, I think that there will be a huge shift in terms of how artists find their way to market. And that will create a much leaner industry in some ways.
So what do you think the role of labels is currently or in a 5 years time? So we're gonna say that that's the prediction of 10 years time. In 5 years time, what do you think their actual role would really look like?
Well, it depends how well they adapt, I think. I think we'll reach a point where we don't, I think now the only real reason to sign to a record label potentially is to put funding behind you for production and marketing. I think marketing is going to be replaced with discovery. When a huge driver of plays is essentially being featured in playlists, being featured in Discover Weekly, being recommended as a similar track to another track, you're not seeing people needing to spend on billboard campaigns, for instance.
I actually quite agree with you. I think that the redundancy of record labels is going to be really interesting, if there is any. And I think you're right. I think if they don't adapt quick, and I think that they've done it before, so they can do it again. And I was just recently talking about this idea of new power and old power. So there's this legacy concept where you have such big dominance generally over the market that it's so hard to shift.
Yeah.
But then you've also got this new power of this of influence, and it's made up of many, and it's all about the participation. That book by Henry Timms, and I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but it's all about new power. It's all about participation. And that all comes down to audience and these things like streaming services that are just helping fuel that. So if you can imagine, like, the tech is almost like the new power, and then you've got these labels. But I think there's quite a lot of innovation that's trying to happen within the labels, if I'm correct in saying that. I think you probably know a little bit more than me, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's attempts to sort of innovate from the inside, I think, almost. But I think one of the biggest blockers up until now is actually the approach to licensing. Like, trying to actually license catalog is incredibly painful, especially if it's major label catalog. I think actually that's a big blocker to innovation, because when you look at most tech companies that have become incredibly successful, like Twitter, they do so by engaging developers, providing open APIs, and enabling developers to go off and build peripheral functionality that doesn't exist in their core platform. And they grow really well as a result of that. It's a demonstrated effect. At the moment, if I'm a developer and I want to create some sort of music-led experience, I basically can't do it with Sony, Universal, or Warner catalog without essentially signing a minimum revenue guarantee, cherry pick MFN clause, giving away equity in my company. You know, it's very hard to just kind of start something small that may grow. So you're really creating an industry that the only way for a DSP to break through is to be incredibly well funded, deeply funded by essentially VCs. And yet at the same time, when you're a business that's got to give anywhere in the region of 70% of your revenue over to PROs, it's not an easy business to raise investment for. So we're sort of seeing the industry going towards being very centralized around Spotify and Apple Music. And I don't think in the long run that's going to favor anybody.
So going back to your own work, is it just the licensing side, or is there other things like audience participation and other areas of innovation and tech that you're seeing that are cropping up?
So we've just done a really big project actually around A&R, which I think is sort of well established as the industry destination for data projects. Everybody's trying to have a go at kind of moneyballing their A&R. So we've just done a really big project around that and using kind of open data repositories to identify emerging artists with a sort of very slim machine learning layer. We're actually, one of the biggest projects we've got on at the moment is actually a kind of really well-established indie DSP. They sell quite a lot of vinyl, particularly in Europe. And they've really grown, actually, in terms of being part of the vinyl boom and being very, very niche and very specialized, which isn't something that you kind of expect from the record industry at the moment. But they're doing really well. We're replatforming them. And that's actually been quite an eye-opener in terms of the challenges from a tech point of view that are entailed in building essentially shopfront for music. There's mm-hmm. a huge amount of stuff kind of going on behind the scenes that you don't anticipate a traditional e-commerce business, for instance, having to deal with. We did a big prototype for label services company that got bought by Apple last year. And that was really interesting because I was essentially taking data from Spotify in real time and kind of analyzing where traffic was coming from for plays and that side of things. And that was quite insightful. And that really opened my eyes to the sheer quantity of data that even a small or kind of emerging music company now has to deal with.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting because, I mean, even with artists that, you know, we're talking to at the moment, it's all about analyzing your data and analyzing your audience. The best kind of statistics that are kind of, you know, available and easy to read if you don't have anything at scale is obviously Instagram and Facebook. And that's probably about as basic as it's probably going to get. So it would be interesting to see if there's anything that, you know, crops up that can get even more granular than that, than just working with, you know, emerging labels down to an individual artist, you know, that might be at quite a small level.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, once you get into the small labels for tech products, in my experience, it can be quite a mission because you get into massive discrepancy in terms of requirements. So the way one small record label works is completely the opposite to the other. And what they want to see from the data varies so hugely as well. I think most startups probably struggle to deal with the sort of feature requirements and feature creep that comes with that.
Yeah, yeah. So how can artists today really make use of a lot of the innovation? And there's technical solutions that I see pop up every now and again, you know, new apps or new tech that could potentially help independent artists. What can they do to make the most of that?
That is a very good question. I mean, you just really have to stay on the ball. I would recommend, even just as an artist, getting a subscription to something like Music Ally and really keeping ahead of emerging platforms. Because if you can be the first notable artist, for instance, on a new platform, say TikTok when it was more nascent, being the first there really sets you up. So I would suggest just really keeping an ear to the ground with regards to the kind of industry feed.
Yeah, for sure. And how do you, Chris, how do you find your information on new tech businesses that are popping up? Where do you get that feed?
Music Ally is a great one. I definitely recommend those guys and everything they do. They're a really great resource for the industry as a whole. I tend to follow things like TechCrunch, NextWeb, and they will quite often showcase emerging platforms, particularly, I mean, around kind of general entertainment and music in relation to the funding they're raising, which tends to be a point at which they become a bit more notable. We actually see a lot just through developer platforms like GitHub, because you tend to see, you can generally track certain people that will end up working with an organization. And that's really useful, actually. Developers are a really good signal for tech companies that will be successful. Generally, when someone notably skilled and respected goes to work for a startup, it pretty much ensures that startup's going to do well. So yeah, it's a mix of things, really. I have quite an established kind of network as well with people in the record industry, and you see a sort of trickle down of information just through that.
So in the next year or so, what are you looking forward to the most when it comes to innovation and tech within the music industry?
Oh, I think there's a lot of stuff kind of bubbling at the moment, that one of which I'm gonna be that guy and I'm gonna say blockchain. I think the blockchain stuff kind of got a load of hype, you know, over the past couple of years, and it seems to have fizzled out. But I think actually everything that's going on economically at the moment is going to see a massive second wave of blockchain, particularly cryptocurrency adoption. And I think regardless of whether or not you kind of put any credence in it, I think there is going to be an increased demand in exploring what cryptocurrency can mean to artists, what it can mean to the whole supply chain for the industry. And yeah, like I say, we're about to go into a period of economic uncertainty that I think really actually drive uptake there. So that's probably the most interesting thing. I think machine learning and AI is getting pretty insane. It has been for a while now, but I think we're really pushing new heights with that. So there's going to be some, I think we may well see the first kind of big breakthrough successful artist that is not really an artist, which will be very interesting.
Yeah, I heard something that, I don't know, I think it was Universal Music signed an algorithm last year or something. So a Warner, that's one, yeah. And I think that kind of bit that blew my mind a few months ago. I was a bit like, oh, okay, wow. There's some levering up, and I think there's definitely a controversial topic, that's for sure.
I think it'd be really interesting from the point of view of how willing the majors are to properly embrace innovation, because there is a copyright concern around the way ML is conducted and where that training data comes from that it requires. And I think it's going to be interesting to see whether or not you see the sizable labels kind of pushing down on that and trying to close it down and state their claim over the copyright of that data that goes in, that music that goes in, or if they actually start to embrace it and really jump on what they can get out of it as well. So that's going to be quite an interesting signal, I think.
That's going to be really interesting. I'm glad you said that, because I didn't realize that what the controversy is about. Do you think there's going to be anything that's going to come out of COVID as well with live music and tech?
I think what's happened really is it's just brought forward things that probably would have happened anyway. You know, it's only a matter of time before, I mean, like live streaming has become a lot easier lately. So from a tech point of view and from a delivery point of view, so I think it was only a matter of time before we started to see that being more and more embraced. I think VR is on the cusp of really becoming quite a viable new format for music, and COVID's kind of shown a little bit around that. And I think that hopefully will get accelerated as a result of that.
Awesome. And just on as a parting note, why is it important for us to innovate within the music industry, if it is important at all? I'm assuming that you're going to say that it is.
Well, I think when the music industry hasn't innovated in the past, it's had fairly dire consequences. You know, a lack of digital distribution and availability sort of bred a whole massive piracy issue, ultimately. And then it was left to Apple really to come and solve that problem with their innovation. So I think it's very important that the music industry takes ownership of its innovation. And actually, if you're a rights holder, you really maybe should be looking at how you maintain a direct-to-consumer relationship or establish one in the first place in a lot of cases, because that is highly valuable. And if you don't innovate around engaging your consumers and having a direct relationship with them, then you leave a gap for someone else to do so.
That's such a perfect way of putting it. It's something I've been trying to preach, but I have not put it as eloquently as that, that's for sure. And finally, Chris, where can everybody find you if they want to follow you or they want to hear more about you?
Well, ironically, I don't really do a huge amount online. So on Twitter, it's Chris Gert, which is Chris Garrett without any vowels, because I came up with that name during the Web 2.0 trend. I'm on LinkedIn, and then we have a holding page at the moment on decimal.fm. which at some point will be replaced with a real website when we actually find the time to do it instead of doing client projects.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Chris, for coming on the show, and thank you for your time.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
So thanks very much for listening to our episode of Plugged Into. And if you like what you heard, head over to Instagram @hyper_tribe and give us a follow, as well as letting us know that you're listening. We love to know that you are listening. And also, if you've got any suggestions of what you want to hear, we want to hear from you. We release a podcast every single Wednesday at 12 p.m. So until next time, take care and stay safe.